Well, good morning again.
Morning.
Well, welcome you again to our church. Glad that you are here. Especially glad if you're visiting with us this morning. You know, I hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. I hope you feel His Holy Spirit. That nothing pleases me more than when someone who has visited our church says, "I could feel the Spirit when I walked in the room." I love that. I love that. I hope you... We just invited the Holy Spirit. Do you think He's here?
Amen.
You know, God's Word says that when you invite Him, when there's two or three gathered in His name, that He's there. So we trust that He is here. And when God is here, good things are going to happen.
Amen.
Good things are going to happen. So if you're visiting with us this morning, we are glad that you're here. There is a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you, and I would like to point that out to you. Would love for you to fill that out. Let us know that you're here. Register with us. You don't have to do that, but really would like to get to know you. You know, one of the things that as we have grown, and one of the things that is kind of grieves me from time to time is that I want to know every single person. I want to know every single child by name. I want to do that, and I have to work. The older I get, the harder I have to work at that. So, but we hope that you feel that love and will register with us. If you want to be on our email list, you can put your email down there, and there's a box right below it. You can check it. It was funny. Last week, I think it was, I got one that checked the box. I want to be on the email list, and there was no email. I was like, how do we do that? So be sure and put your email on there and check that box if you'd like to be on there. Remind you, we also have a Wiley Methodist app. And at the end of the service, if you want to bring your blue card and meet me, I'm going to be down at this end of the foyer. I'll have a gift for you. I have to bribe people to come meet me. I'm sorry. That's just, you know, I'm not that exciting. So, but I'd love to meet you. I'll be at the end of the foyer down there. You can bring that card or you can leave that in the seat where you are. Also, Pat, keep those registration slips passing to the end of the aisle. If they're laying there in the chair beside you, keep those moving. We want to know who all is here so we can love one another better. Ephesians chapter 2 is where we are today. Ephesians chapter 2. This is one of the, just as kind of a foundational scripture of our faith, beginning in verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Say that with me. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that you love us. We invite your Holy Spirit to come. So Holy Spirit, come and speak in power and authority to us. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Heard a story of a little boy that, and this, you know, any resemblance to me as a little boy is purely coincidental. But I heard a story of a little boy who liked to throw rocks. And one day he picked up a rock, and you know how little boys are. It's like, you know, not only do you like to throw rocks, you like to hear something break when you throw it. Any little, can I get an amen from any of the little boys? You know, that you like to hear something break. And this little boy, he took a rock and he threw it through this window, and it shattered the window. And it was not an abandoned building; it was some people's house. And as you can imagine, the owners of the house were not very happy. And they went and sought out mom and dad. And dad showed up and he saw what his son had done, and the son didn't deny it, and he was caught red-handed. He knew that he had done wrong. And his dad said this: "Whatever my son has done, I will pay for it." That's the heart of the Father. That's the heart of our Heavenly Father. Today we continue the series, Amazing Grace. Actually, we begin the series, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. And this week, Forgiving Grace. Forgiving Grace. You know, how many of you know about C.S. Lewis? Familiar with C.S. Lewis? C.S. Lewis was an author. He was a Christian theologian. He back in the early and mid 1900s. I think he was a great theologian. I mean, I love to read his books. He's known for so many books, but he was also a professor at Cambridge University. And a lot of people may not know this about C.S. Lewis. He was actually an atheist that became to Christ and became this awesome author and theologian. Well, at Cambridge University, some 50-plus years ago, they were having a comparative religions conference. They had people from all these different religions that coming together, and they were asking questions about what do we have in common, what do we have that separates us, and so forth. And so as they are sitting around, these minds from all of these different religions are sitting together, and they are asking the question, what is unique about the Christian faith? What is unique about the Christian faith? And C.S. Lewis walked into the room, and they're debating this, and C.S. Lewis walks into the room, and they say, how about you, C.S.? What's unique about the Christian faith? And without drawing a breath, he immediately said, oh, that's easy. It's grace. You think about it, all of the other religions, all of the other worldviews are trying to teach us how to be good, teach us how to meet certain standards. But no other religion, no other worldview has grace. So we're going to unpack grace a little bit these next 4 weeks. Christianity is the only religion that suggests that God's love is offered to us free with no strings attached and that His mercy is available to everyone, even the most undeserving. That's grace. That's unique to the Christian journey. Now, it's been a while since I should have looked this up fresh again, but a few years ago I ran across a statistic. And it was talking about professing Christians would ask professing Christians the question, how do you get to heaven? And it was in the 70%, it was 75% of professing Christians said, be a good person. Hello. Is this anybody listening? To be a good person is how we achieve eternal life. That's not people who are outside the church. That's the church. We don't. I believe with all my heart that grace is one of the best kept secrets of the church. And it's crazy that we miss it. We miss it. So I want to unpack it a little bit. First thing, Scripture tells us that we are hopelessly lost without grace. We are hopelessly lost without grace. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. So in order for us to take grace seriously, we have to take sin seriously. We have to understand that we are fallen, that we are broken, that we are sinners, that we don't measure up to the standard that God has for us, which is holiness, righteousness. The Scripture tells us over and over, if you read Romans, if you want to learn more about grace, read Romans. It tells us over and over that the law was given so that we might become aware of our brokenness, might become aware of our sinfulness, our need for God. That's why we have the law. Grace then was given to pardon us. We are, this passage that we looked at today, let's just kind of slow down on that first part of verse 8. We are saved by grace through faith. Three words there I want us to really kind of unpack a little bit. Saved by grace through faith. So the first is saved. So if we're saved, that means that we are a people, we are a lost people in need of salvation. Yes? I mean, if Scripture is telling us that something saves us, what is that referring to? It's inferring that we're lost. We need to be saved. And our goodness doesn't work. The consequences, Scripture tells us, the consequences of sin is death. We are a people, if you've taken a breath on this earth, we are a people in need of salvation. Because If you're saved by something, that means you're lost. We've got to take sin seriously for us to really take grace seriously. So then let's move down to grace. Grace just is God's unearned, undeserved favor. Now, think about that for a minute. Let it soak in. It's unearned. We don't earn it, and we don't deserve it. I don't want to move ahead of myself here. Let's move to faith. So faith, Scripture tells us, and this is in Hebrews. You can find this in Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. If we are certain of something, if we have something in our hands, we don't have to have faith that we have it. But if we're trusting, it's all about trust. A few years ago, I've told this story before, but when I was transitioning into the ministry and we had that about a year and a half window there, I was moving out of the business world and the computer world, moving to ministry. I mean, that was a scary year and a half or so for Cheryl and I. I mean, we didn't know, I would have been glad to have, weenies and bread. We just didn't know where anything was coming from. But we trusted. We trusted that God would provide for us. We trusted that if He's called us to something, He will fulfill His promises. That's faith. It's like if we know it's going to happen, if it's a sure thing, that doesn't require faith. That's easy. Faith is trusting God for what He promises. As I think about that word faith, I remember when the girls, my girls, were little, and we go to the swimming pool, and they were learning to swim, and the first they had the little floaty things, and then they kind of lost the floaty things, and then they started, you could coax them to jump off the side of the pool. And I remember very vividly when they decided that they wanted to try the diving board, and they were little bitty things, and I remember they'd get up to the climb the stairs and get on the diving board, and they just weren't quite sure. Well, I got in the water, and I went out there to the end of the diving board, and I said, jump. Daddy's here. Daddy will catch you. It's going to be okay. And they eventually, it might have taken a while, but eventually they jumped because they trusted Daddy. They trusted Daddy. And then once they saw that, hey, this is pretty fun, then it was party on, man. I mean, it was like, this kind of stuff. But just faith is trusting Daddy, our heavenly Daddy. Second thing, Scripture tells us not only that we're hopelessly lost without grace, but Scripture tells us that good works don't save us. Now, please don't hear me that service and being a servant and helping people and loving people, that doesn't matter. But we have to separate that and understand that that is a response to our relationship with God. It is, does not save us. Good works does not save us. Now, I'm going to quote a famous theologian, Larry the Cable Guy. He says, the way he would say that is, good works don't get her done. I mean, never mind. I'm showing how hopelessly pathetic I am by quoting Larry the Cable Guy. But good works, we mistake that all the time, and all we have to do is open up God's Word and just read it. Good works is a response to our faith in Christ. It's not something that earns us His favor. Listen to this in verse 9, that we are saved by grace through faith, not by works. I don't know how much clearer the Scriptures can be. We're saved not by works. Anybody, shake your head if you're hearing what the Word is saying. So that no one can boast. If we could somehow attain this goodness that makes us acceptable to God, then we receive the credit. We receive the glory. But I want to tell you, who receives the glory for our salvation is Jesus Christ. Because we are saved by grace through faith, and grace has a beautiful picture. It has a man hanging on the cross. That's the picture of grace. Amen. And he's looking down at these people who have betrayed him and who have falsely accused him and who are gambling for his very clothes. And the church leaders mocking him. And he's hanging there on a cross and he says, "Father, forgive them." That's grace. Amen. That's what saves us. Not works. Scripture tells us that we are hopelessly lost without grace and that good works don't save us. And finally, Scripture tells us that grace is God's gift to us. It's a gift. It's a free gift. And you know, this passage here that we read today, this grace by faith is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Romans says it this way: "For the wages of sin is death." There it is. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's a gift. And you heard the term good news? That's why it's called good news. We have good news to share with the world, church. It's not just okay news, it's good news that we're saved by grace, this free gift that God bestows on us through Jesus Christ. I've referenced this before, but the song we sang just right before I got up here, Amazing Grace. We know most people know that was written by John Newton, and most people know that he was a slave ship captain. But I want to unpack that story just a little bit more. He wrote that in 1772. And he had quite a history. He was a slave ship captain. As he became a Christian later, he referred to himself before Christ as the great blasphemer. Isn't that something? He was this wretched man. The great blasphemer is how he referred to himself in his own journals. In March of 1748, while he was still a slave ship captain, he was caught in a storm at sea, and one of the shipmates, there was just a horrible storm in the ship. The sides were being busted in, and they thought they were going down. There was one of his shipmates was swept right off the deck of the boat, and they never saw him again. And Newton is at the wheel, and he's crying out. And this guy doesn't know the Lord, and he's crying out to God for mercy. Long story short, they survived the night. His life was transformed. God answered his cry for mercy. His life was transformed. He later became, a lot of people don't know this, that he became friends with George Whitefield and John Wesley. And they were very instrumental in forming him spiritually. He became a pastor. He worked actively with a man named William Wilberforce. How many of you know about William Wilberforce? William Wilberforce was a Christian British politician in the 1700s. And he was instrumental in the abolition of slavery in England. And there's a movie called Amazing Grace that I highly recommend this movie. Highly recommend this movie. And it's about the life of William Wilberforce. And John Newton there's scenes in there with him. But Christ changed his life. I want you to listen to this very short little clip from that movie. Go ahead, Alan.
This is my confession. You must use it. Names, ship's records, ports, people. Everything I remember is in here. Although my memory is fading, I remember two things very clearly. I'm a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior. You must publish it. Blow a hole in their boat with it. Damn them with it. I wish I could remember all their names. My 20,000 ghosts, they all have names. Beautiful African names. We call them with just grunts, noises, We were apes. They were human. We're being. I couldn't breathe till I wrote this. I once was blind, but now I see. Didn't I write that too?
Yes, you did.
Well, now at last it's true. Now go, Wilbur, go. We've lots of work to do, you and I.
My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior. Grace through Jesus Christ changes lives. So, has he changed yours? Man, I think the first step in grasping grace is to understand our sinfulness. And y'all have heard this probably from me before, but the Christian life is not about being good. It's God who loves us when we're not good. This meal is a meal of grace. We, outside of Christ, we have no right to partake in this. But through Christ, we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We come as a forgiven and a redeemed people to this meal. On the night that he's sitting around the table, knowing these men, one will betray him, the others will, many of them will deny and scatter away from him. He washes their feet. He takes the bread and he breaks it. He said, "This is my body broken for you." Grace. He takes the cup. He blesses it, and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, established in my blood, poured out for you. Grace. Amazing grace." So we come to this meal today as a broken but yet redeemed people. Is anybody thankful for God's grace? As we come here to remember and to celebrate that and to participate in his body and blood, begins with repentance. I ask you now, if you would, just to bow your head and in your own heart, just to confess to the Lord, where are you failing? Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for this bread and this cup. May they be for us the body and the blood of Jesus. It is by grace we are saved through faith. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.